3.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Hush now, don't you wake up. We'll be leaving at first light. Mama's buying you a mockingbird to lure you through the night.
The Carolina Chocolate Drops are a young string band whose mission is simple. They are unearthing the African-American roots of American roots music. Their 2010 Grammy Award-winning album, Genuine Negro Jig, featured traditional instruments, including the banjo, fiddle, kazoo, and jug. The band later added a cello and bridged old and new black music by also adding a beatboxer. The Carolina Chocolate Drops are based in North Carolina. On Saturday, they'll be at the House of Blues in Boston. They brought their instruments along when we spoke with them earlier this week. Here they are performing the title track off their latest album, Leaving Eden.
Sister stayed in Eden. Her husband's got some land. An agent for the county thinks that they might make a stand. It's a hard life for working with nothing much to show. It's a hard life for leaving with nowhere to go. And the mockingbird can't sing like the crying of a dove. And I can't tell my daughters all the things that I'm scared of. But I am not afraid of that bright glory up above. Dying's just another way to leave the ones we
That's the Carolina Chocolate Drops playing Leaving Eden, with Rhiannon Giddens on vocals and fiddle, Dom Flemons on vocals and banjo, Layla McCalla on cello, and Hubby Jenkins on guitar and mandolin. I began our conversation by asking Rhiannon Giddens and Dom Flemons about the region that gave rise to much of America's old black string music, the Piedmont region of the Carolinas.
Oh, the Piedmont of North Carolina, that's the foot of the mountain. So a lot of the string band music, particularly in North Carolina, see, the Piedmont goes, you know, a very long chunk of the country. But in North Carolina, there's a specific style of playing that's very rhythmic and dance-oriented. And so a lot of the string band music we do, particularly the older songs like Black Annie or Georgia Buck or Old Corn Liquor, those are ones that that reflect that region of the country. And so, you know, a lot of times people have heard Piedmont blues guitar, and so the string band music we do is kind of the fiddle and banjo half of that sort of tradition of music.
Interesting. And, you know, I was reading that, as you mentioned, the Piedmont blues guitar, it's sort of the guitar version of, or it has a lot of similarities to, say, the ragtime style for piano. So there's a deep sort of cultural and racial history to this music as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, during slavery time and during Reconstruction, it was a kind of a poor region. A lot of the races were able to interact in ways that some of the places that are a little farther down south, they were a bit more segregated because there was a lot more economy that was going on during those times. And so North Carolina is very unique in its way of black, white, and Indian cultures all mixing together, and the music reflects a lot of that.
Tell me a little bit more about it. Who are the names and the artists that pop up as, you know, profound influences in what we think of as roots music today?
Well, one of the main people for us was a fellow by the name of Joe Thompson, who was a black fiddler who grew up in Mebane, North Carolina, which is in the Piedmont of North Carolina, and he's like our main influence, and a lot of our first material were all his tunes.
Buddy,
And then back to North Carolina, there's Etta Baker. Elizabeth Cotton.
Freight train, run so fast. Freight train, run so fast.
The Blind Boy Fuller. So, I mean, there's a lot of different people that encapsulate the whole idea of Piedmont music.
Now, if you get you one woman, better get you two. One for your buddy, other one for you. Got me a wife and a sweetheart, too. Wife don't love my sweetheart, do all right.
And, you know, it's true in the history of American music, for example, even down to the instruments themselves. Like, the banjo has its roots in Africa. And so, but on the other hand, a lot of people might hear what you're doing and hear the music that you're playing and almost look at you in disbelief and say, wait a minute, you know, this sounds like white Southern music. I had no idea that there were African American influences in it at all. I mean, what's your response when people sort of give you that quizzical look?
That's something that has been very wonderful to be able to do in the group, is to present this music and try to show a little bit of the historical context. Sometimes it's like archaeology work where we can take pieces of it and put them together and try to give examples of how something might have sounded, but there's a lot of history that's behind this music that just being able to get out there and play it and then give a little information to people, that that helps them expand their own minds and horizons about how they think about the music.
All right.
Well, but I did have a question for you, Rhiannon. I read that you've started exploring music from... maybe a darker period of American history, and that is the minstrel era. Can you tell me about what that's been like, what you've discovered, and what it's meant to you to sort of explore that musically?
I made a purchase of a minstrel-style banjo. It's by Jim Hartle, and it's based on one of the earliest banjos that the white community would have been playing. And I went back to a lot of the tutors that came out around the 50s, the 1850s, when it was starting to make the transition from just a slave instrument, in quotation marks, it was known as a slave instrument, to an instrument that sort of everybody wanted to know about and wanted to learn how to play. And the words are pretty difficult to take, because, you know, minstrelsy was, you know, caricatures of black people. But it's very, very important for us to at least start dealing with this, because it was such an enormous part of American entertainment and a backbone of American culture.
Well, you do have your instruments there, and I would love to hear you play a little bit more. So do you have another song for us?
Yeah, well, this is a song here. Funny enough that we got to talking about the minstrel shows. Now, over time, you know, a lot of black performers started performing in minstrel shows after the white performers had been doing it for a while, because it was some of the first ways that they could get out into the entertainment field.
The only way.
And I mean, it was like, you know, and it evolved into its own thing after a while. And so this is a tune that was written by a fellow by the name of Thomas A. Dorsey, who we all know as the father of gospel music. But he was Georgia Tom Dorsey, worked with Ma Rainey and a whole bunch of other people. And this is one of his old double entendre numbers called "But They Got It Fixed Right On." 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Now, with a poet and a boy named Jim, he liked her and she liked him. Both broke down in a country bar, but they didn't get home until after dark. But they got it fixed, ain't no doubt. Nobody knows what the song's about. Too bad that the news got out, but they got it fixed right on, yeah. Yeah! Come on! Worked in a bakery shop, selling donuts and lollipops. Preacher come in for to save a soul, and she asked him to fix her jelly roll. But they got it fixed, ain't no doubt. Nobody knows what the song's about. Too bad that the news got out, but they got it fixed right on. A guy walked into the butcher shop, grabbed the butcher's big ham hock. Butcher knocked her right off her feet. She missed his bone, but she got his meat. But they got it fixed, ain't no doubt. Nobody knows what the song's about. Too bad that the news got out, but they got it fixed right on. Now the monkey and the polecat made a deal to discuss the subject of sex appeal. Skunk won the argument right or wrong, cause his sex appeal was much too strong. But they got it fixed, ain't no doubt. Nobody knows what the song's about. Too bad that the news got out, but they got it fixed right on.
That's the Carolina Chocolate Drops playing, but they got it fixed right on. Let me ask you, when I hear you play, it just sounds like you're having a lot of fun, too. Is there something just innately joyful about playing this kind of music?
I mean, that's one of the reasons I got into it, was because I just loved the joy of it, you know, especially when I got into, like, a lot of the country blues, too, because I'd always heard blues was depressing music and music that, you know, you just have to be down in the dumps about, but it was, as I got into a lot of the older stuff, it was really nice to see that it could be very exuberant and happy music. And, you know, you can just, you know, it can lift you up out of that blues instead of just always being something that keeps you down in it.
Well, where we are now is also the fact that Carolina Chocolate Drops is really not just being purely music archaeologists, as we were talking beforehand, but you're also, you know, really making it your own in ways that initially were kind of surprising. For example, like you added a beatboxer. One of the songs that she did that really got a lot of attention, that was your cover of Blue Cantrell's Hit 'Em Up Style. And when you hear him playing or beatboxing with you guys, it actually makes, like you said, a lot of sense, because, you know, we basically have two elemental kinds of music, one old, one newer, coming together.
Hey, ladies, when your man wanna get buck wild, just go back and hit him up style. Get your hands on his cash and spend it to the last time for all the hot times.
When one of our philosophies is that it doesn't matter what the instrument is that you're playing, it's all about, like, how you're playing it and what your intention is. And Adam is a beatboxer, yes, but he's actually kind of a rare beatboxer in that he's instrument-based. And so his attitude was really, it fit it right in with ours, and so it actually worked out a lot easier and better than you might have thought of with just thinking beatbox plus, you know, old-time music. It was a much more organic fit than it could have been with, a different kind of beatboxer.
There go the dreams we used to say. There go the times we went away. There goes the love I had, but you cheated on me, and that's for that now.
Yeah. And it seems to me that the fact that you're so powerfully able to bring back to life the old-timey music, but also make it new, it's one of the reasons why so many people have fallen in love with what you do. But at the same time, it seems like overall there's a lot more interest in even sort of finer and finer genres when it comes to roots music in the United States. Are you part of that greater groundswell?
Well, we're also in an enormous age of technology, and that's really changed the game. Changed it for us. I mean, what we were able to do today is very different than what it would have been 20 years ago. You know, we've got, at the touch of a button, you know, access to recordings that were made so long ago that used to be in people's private collections that they put up on YouTube or on the internet, and, you know, or have made available. And so people have access to things that they didn't have access to before, they may have heard about. And I think that really opens up exploration into older forms of American music.
Well, we've got time for just another song, and I would love to go out on it. So what are you going to play for us?
Well, with all the talk of doing different things and making things new, this is one of our more traditional pieces we learned from Joe Thompson, who was our first real mentor in this kind of music. Died at the age of 93 last year, one of the last black traditional fiddlers in the South, and we were real lucky to know him. And it's a tune called Black Annie.
Dom Flemons and Rhiannon Giddens are the founding members of the Carolina Chocolate Drops. Cellist Layla McKella and guitarist Hubby Jenkins also joined us. The band will be at the House of Blues in Boston on Saturday. For more information, head to radioboston.org. Coming up, Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg wants women to lean in more at work. We'll ask some of Boston's most accomplished women about their experiences and whether or not they think that's good advice. Stick with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.